This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.
I know you got a story to tell, or you wouldn't ask that.
Well, I know Phil said last week he said, "Where's the joke?" You know, and that's remember I.
He sure opened the can of worms.
All right,
that, didn't
well,
he?
Little rip. Well, this is not. I don't know if you call this a joke. This happened to me.
Okay,
it's a story.
So it might be a joke and it might not be. You know
all
what
right.
I mean?
Well, anyway, the yoke's on you.
Well, I was in Walmart the other day. This woman come over, and she said, I hadn't seen her in a long time. She grabbed hold of me and gave me a big hug and kiss. She said, "Earl, I heard you were down and all that." And I cut her kid's hair for years and husband's hair and everything. And I hadn't seen her in a while. She says, "I want to show you something. I got a great-grandchild." And she's showing this great-grandchild, you know. And I said, "Well," she said, "not many people have great-grandchilds." I says, "I got one." "You do?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "We got a picture of her?" I said, "No." I said, "She's too pretty. The pictures don't do her any justice, so I don't even take pictures of her." So she's looking at me.
It's hard to be humble.
So then she says to me, "Well, here's Lisa and I used to cut the kids here, show a picture," and you know, and I said, "Oh yeah." I said, "Well, I hardly recognize them. They've grown up so big." She says, And she said, "You know, we've been married 44 years and we're really, really doing well. We've had very few arguments in 44 years. I said, "That's very good." Mm-hmm. "That's very good." I said, "You know," I said, she said, "How long have you been married?" I said, "I've been married 52 years. I said, "We've never had one argument." She says, "What?" I said, "Yep, 52 years, we never had one argument." She said, "How come that?" I said, "Well, when we first got married, we went to London on our honeymoon."
Yep.
I said, "And 52 years later, I went back and got her."
and that worked for you, right?
How I got
hey,
the
Earl, how I got the how in the world did you have grandkids? Did she
have that? She always got to be technical, doesn't
she? You tell me, it's your honeymoon.
Yeah, honeymoon. Oh, yeah, no honeymoon.
I never thought about that. You're right.
Yeah, I had that thought, buddy.
Very good, Earl.
Ronnie's got a story just for you.
I went to a dance, and I was waiting in line to get in. And I was watching this guy in front of me, supposed to have a tie on. And the guy that was controlling the crowd told him, he says, "You can't come in here. This is a black tie." And he says, "Well, I don't have one." And he didn't have time to go get one. The guy says, "Wait a minute. I'll fix you up with a tie. Let's see." So he come back with a set of jumper cables. And he looked at him and he put the jumper cables around, put it in a little knot, went like that, and put his coat over it, and he says, "That'll do." And the boy said, "Well, thanks a lot, you know," and he started walking. I said, "Now, wait a minute. I don't want you going in there starting anything."
And I got to tell you about this preacher, little country church.
Well, Phil only said one joke.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
He's preaching at his little country church, and everybody in town come. So one time, one of the people in town had company. It was the grandma, so they brought the old grandma. Well, this preacher sees that. He was always long-winded. So he sees somebody new there, came in a little late, so he just went another half hour. So instead of preaching in an hour for his 20-minute sermon, he preached an hour and a half. So afterwards, the preacher's wife seen this new woman there. So she went over, and the preacher's name was Pastor Dunn. And so this woman went over to him and said, "Hello." He said, "The preacher is my husband." Said, "I'm glad it's done." She said, "I am too." Yeah.
I'm glad it's done.
Yeah. Yeah, said, "I am too."
You mean with his second wife? Is that what you're saying?
No. She said, she was glad it's done. She's a preacher's wife, glad it's done. And then one said, "I am too. I'm glad it's done.
It's done.
Oh, I'm glad
the preacher's
it's
done.
Done. Oh,
glad it's done.
I got it now." I thought maybe they're both
Yeah, too wide. That'd been a fight right there. One of them had jumper cables. My store something. Yeah.
Well, we gotta watch Phil. He's worked hard today. He might fall asleep on me.
No, I'm gonna fall asleep.
Yeah. This is about the third month of retirement. He's about due for a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been due for a nap before now, I'll tell you. Okay, everybody ready?
We're ready.
We need to lift up anybody? I call Gladys. Oh, Gladys. He's got me talking about Gladys.
Gladys Dunn.
Yeah. I talked to Betty today at noontime about going down and picking her up today. And she got she said she was, this morning she felt like coming. And then all of a sudden she went outside and did something. And now she's got like a hack and cough or some kind of thing. Well, so anyhow, I prayed with her on the phone.
I'll take care of that.
And I told her, now look, you're going to feel better by 5 o'clock. You call me, but she didn't call me.
Well, you know, I better tell you something before you go any farther. This guy, George Johnson, that's on Gator Videos, he's on the base. Well, he was going to New York for a concert up there.
Yeah.
And his neighbor told him, says, neighbor's friend says, you know, I'd like you to do me a favor. He says, my son left home when he was 21, moved to New York, and I've never seen him since. And said, well, what's his name? He said, his name is John Dunn. And said, if you see him, will you ask him, please give me a call? He said, sure, will. So he got to New York, he seen a big old sign, said Dunn and Bradstreet. He said, man, this is easy. Found him already. Wasn't even looking for him. So he went in that big old building, in the Dunn and Bradstreet building. And he asked the woman there, said, do you have a John? And she said, yeah, it's right to those doors. So he said he went in there and he heard the hopper flush. And he said, hey, he said, are you Dunn? He said, yeah. He said, call your mama.
Oh,
I sounded like he made that joke up.
Well, was he from the Hicks or something? Or is that where he was from?
Huh?
Was he from the Sticks or the Hicks? Was he, you know, did he have much education? I mean, come on.
It sounded to me like he was very educated. Stayed in New York all them years. He was from London. He grew back over on the boat when Earl went and got his wife.
What chapter are you on, Phil?
Well, we're in Romans 14, but let's cover this prayer here before I forget what we started.
Betty. He was going to cover it.
Betty and Louie and Pete and who else?
And my girlfriend, Debbie.
And Earl. Ronnie and Earl.
Cover the whole gang.
And my granddaughter, too, because she has to go to Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, so what, for what?
For that. She's in bad shape.
Oh, that's the mother, the baby's mother.
Yeah.
So it's you and your wife and your...
Well, my wife's okay.
Your wife's okay. You
she
and
just
your
got back
daughter. You and your daughter. Yeah.
And your granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
Yeah, she. I'll tell you what, she goes to Johns Hopkins, they're going to fix it.
They don't have to, because the screw is almost touching her brain. And she can, I don't know if they're going to fix the doctor, the operator, they couldn't get the screw out.
They'll get it out.
So they're going to have to do something. I don't know.
They'll get it out.
I hope so.
Those doctors there, and Phil, you would go over that and pray that they go get that screw out.
Yep, yeah, they're going to fix it.
And those no doctors there.
And no brain damage.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Total recovery. That's what we're going to do.
They told her, don't, you can't do anything.
No.
If you're in a car accident, you'll probably die. I mean, they told her all this stuff. And, you know, they're supposed to get an appointment now, but I haven't yet. I don't know what's.
They'll open the door. Here, we'll cover it right now. Mm-hmm. Father, we come before you, and we thank you, Father, because we know that you are the great creator.
Yes, you are, Lord.
And if you're the great creator, you're the great fixer.
Yes.
And you can straighten out any mess. We don't care how bad it is. You can straighten out the government and fix it. And you can give us world peace and a blessed life. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for giving us Jesus.
Yes.
And Father, we lift up Earl and his granddaughter and her medical situations, and Loey, and Pete, and Ron, and her families, and my family, Father, we lift them all up, and Betty Gannon too. Father, we know that you can fix things so that they are very fixed. Not halfway, but all the way. And Father, we thank you that the screw problem that the granddaughter has, Father, we receive it fixed completely. Yes. Healed head to toe. And the problems that, Earl and all these other people have, Father, we receive them fixed and corrected. Head to toe, every one of them, perfectly done. Father, we receive it now in Jesus' name. Because, Father, you didn't call us to be behind. You called us to be ahead. Yes. You didn't call us to be under. You called us to be above. And, Father, and in Jesus' name, we receive it, healing, financial and spiritual and physical and in all other ways, Father, we receive healing, not only in us, in this group, but in all the children of God. Because we are blessed coming in and going out. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. She's going to be fine.
She's going to be fine. Perfect.
I hope so.
Hope. The word hope.
And pray.
That's right. The word hope means vision. Earl.
Yeah, I know.
You get it, you just get a picture of her being healthy in your head. That's right. That's the hope stuff.
Running around doing all kinds of good stuff.
Doing things she never thought she'd ever do again.
Yep.
Satan is trying to beat that girl down.
Yep.
Financially, physically, mentally, materially.
In Jesus' name, Satan is bound from coming into any of this.
Yeah,
in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no place, no power, no authority, because we have the power and we have the authority.
She's a very good person because I heard Earl talk about it.
Yep.
Yeah, she's a good one.
She's a good worker.
She's working 12-hour days, and it's really been hard for her, but she's done it.
She's a sticker. She sticks in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, Jesus is going to fix her.
Yep.
And she's like me, too. She's pretty.
Well, it's hard to be humble.
Maybe she's got some of your wife's genes.
You got to have a little laughter here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. If you thought somebody was going to believe that. We bleed a pretty far.
Baby, pick it on me again.
Wait, no, I'm not picking on you again, still. Yeah. I give you about as much chance as you give everybody sitting in your chair.
All right.
That's where I learned it.
Romans 14. We're going to start in verse 13. We're actually on verse 16, but we're going to go back to 13 and sort of fill in a little bit here before we move on. All right? Everybody ready?
Yep.
We're going to be Romans 14, verse 13.
I think you first start with 10.
Or 10. We'll start in 10 then.
Because you're talking about judging.
Judging, yes. Okay. Why do you criticize and pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you look down upon and despise your brother? You put in here, or sister. For they shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, acknowledge him to his honor and to his praise. Verse 12, it says, and so each of us shall give an account of himself, give an answer in reference to judgment to God. Verse 13, and then let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another, but rather decide and endeavor never to put a stumbling block or an obstacle or a hindrance in the way of a brother or sister. I know and am convinced, persuaded, as one in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is forbidden as essentially unclean, but nonetheless, it is unclean to anyone who thinks it is unclean. In other words, if you and your doctrine say this is unclean, despite what the word says, then it's to you it's unclean. Yeah. You shouldn't be doing it.
Well, it's, you don't say that. Let me say it. I've already said it. I died for you. So we can say in every situation, that, for example, Earl's granddaughter said, there's a situation there. And Rose would say, oh, honey, you're going to make it. You wouldn't dare say that she wasn't going to make it.
No, no.
So when you say, oh, you're going to make it, you're prophesying to her.
That's right.
Regardless of what anybody says, the Bible says that's what prophesying is. You're giving the word of God to her because God said, by his stripes you were healed. So you can say, you can tell her, oh, honey, you're going to make it. Very sincerely, you're saying that to keep her up because she needs to hear that.
Right.
It's critical.
And she needs to say that.
Yeah.
Oh,
she needs to say, let me tell you, true story about me.
About you?
Yeah, about
you. Sure, you don't want to use somebody else?
Well, now, when I first started to fast, and I've been fasting more than 30 years.
Don't look like it.
I know I didn't look like
don't
it,
like
but I make up for it in between.
Oh, okay.
When I started, the devil didn't want me to fast.
Still doesn't.
And, man, I tell you what, I'd get sinus attacks and all kinds of stuff. Just be just sick as a dog. Just that one night, just I said, okay, tonight I'm going to start fasting. And, man, I tell you what, I'd have...
Instant
sinus attack and everything else, man. I mean, I'd just be sick as a dog. And until I stood ground myself and said, you know what, Satan, you're not stealing
this. Let this go from me.
You're not stealing this from me.
No.
And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to receive this blessing despite what you do. And I'm really going to do it. It just dug in my heels. You know what? And I started saying Bible verses and things like that. Next thing you know, it all cleared. You know, but you yourself have to put yourself in a position.
You got to get enough of it.
You have to get enough word.
And turn it around.
And use it. You know, the word is the whole deal. The whole trick is in the word. Using the word. And the only way you get it is if you get into it and read it yourself. If all that Bible does is sit on the shelf, that's what you got is a book on the shelf. Right? It only becomes power to you if you put it in you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like gas in your car. You don't put any gas in your car, you're not going very far.
That's it.
Right? If you don't put any oil in it, it's not going very far either, right? Permanently.
Right.
So
or water.
Or any of that stuff, right?
Whole recipe, whatever can stop it is what you gotta maintenance.
That's right. That's what you gotta do.
And there's a lot of different ways that Satan stops people. You got to maintenance it because once you learn this to defeat Satan, then he's going to come at you over here
with something else.
Yeah.
You know, once Earl went to London and got his wife back, then he said, oh, I got a granddaughter. So Satan starts working on a granddaughter, so I'll break her neck. But Satan always looks for something that's close to you, something you love, something you cherish, like your children and your grandchildren, and he tries to hurt you through them. Yeah. And there ain't nobody can't say, if you hurt my grandchildren, or my children,
man, this is
you're
war,
in big
man.
Trouble. They hurt your grandchildren, but you'd be out there on the street cleaning the street up with somebody, right?
That's right.
But that's flesh and blood. And what I'm saying is, we're Jesus' flesh and blood.
That's right.
And that's why Jesus said, hey, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
That's it.
But they would rather you whip them than what's coming, and they don't know, because Jesus said, oh, you're going to pay for that. He said, you will reap what you sow, regardless who you are.
That's right.
You know, that Jesus said it.
That's right.
Now, we don't like to wait and say, wait a minute, Jesus, let me help you out here a little bit. We don't need to wait for another week when I can hit him with a sledgehammer right now.
Well, you know, and the word says that your problems will come from your family, right? There's a verse that said, and I can't think of it, I think it's in Matthew, that says that from your own family will come your trials and tribulations.
Most of your problems.
Yeah. And a lot of people...
I see a lot of that in my family.
I see a lot of my family.
Yeah. And so it's important, the things that you say to your family are really important to you, right? I tell you, I have a book I give away all the time. A little $2 book.
Get it from the Bible. Book?
Huh?
What's it, Boomerang?
No, it's the...
Because you say you keep giving it...
Oh, no, but I keep going down to the Bible bookstore and buying some more. God's creative power will work for you.
Amen.
By Charles Capps.
Amen.
And the nice thing about
it'll work on through Phil, too, not just Charles Capps.
Well, yeah, it works for anybody who's willing to read it and do it, okay?
That was just easy.
But in there, It explains how your spoken word changes things.
Yes, okay? It does. Amen.
And then it goes one step more. And then in this itty bitty little book, it gives you verse after verse exactly what to say. You know, it actually gives you the Bible verse, you know, do this one and then do this one and do this one. It actually lays it out for you so that you can say it. Don't read it to yourself. Say it.
Yeah.
When you read it.
You speak it.
Speak it out. And let me tell you something. There is a lot of power in those verses that he gives you. A really outstanding little $2 book from the Bible bookstore. I mean, that's really great. Anyhow. And that's what he's talking about here. You know, he's talking about family problems and all kinds of situations here. He says, judge your brother. Well, this is not just the spiritual brother. This is a physical brother, too.
Well, yeah. He said he came to divide the family. That don't mean to make the family hate each other. He said, what he's saying is, this part of the family is going to set Jesus Christ. You're going to have other members in the family. No, no.
Yeah, even Jesus. Yeah, no. Some of Jesus
they'll say, God killed my wife, or yeah. Why did God take my wife after 20 years or something? Yeah. Why did God take my children? Why did God take my neighbor or my best customer? And they'll be mad at God. God don't kill nobody. The Bible says real clear, Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. John 3:17, I think yeah. It is. No, it said Christ didn't come to condemn. That's John 3:17. But it said Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
Not God didn't do none of that. It said, but God come to give
life and life more abundantly.
Yeah. And life more abundantly is not dying.
Yeah.
So when Satan kills them, God has to receive them if they're righteous.
Yeah.
But people don't know that because they don't get in that. You don't hear preachers preaching that. You don't hear preachers preaching that. You're the redeemed. You are the redeemed if you're the Christian. Well, what are you redeemed from? Sickness, health, curse,
yeah.
Whatever it is. Well, they don't know that. So when they say, well, I don't know why God put cancer on her. God didn't put cancer on her.
That's right.
Satan did. The Bible says so.
Yeah.
Every disease, Satan put it on. God didn't do it. And when we give Satan an opportunity, if you don't exercise, you give Satan an opportunity to get flabby.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't use this exercise, get away from the table, you end up being obese. And Satan's going to take that opportunity. If you drink sodas, that's just as bad, probably about as bad for you as cigarettes, it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, you can't blame God for that. He said, read the label, dude.
Yeah.
Read the label.
That's right.
It's that simple. You know, if you don't read the label and don't do it, it's foolish. If you read the label and don't do it,
yeah,
it's foolish.
Yeah.
You know, you look to see what's good for you and what's bad for you.
In other words, God gave you a brain and use it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he expects you to.
Yeah.
He expects you to. It said Jesus walked around.
You cannot walk the walk. Not just simply talk the talk. Anybody can talk the talk.
Right.
Talk is cheap. The word says, show me your faith by your works.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, and works don't get you to heaven. This is stuff that you do from your heart because you want to do it. Okay? So, the only way you develop that kind of an attitude is to get into the Word and find out about it and fill yourself with the Word. From that, you develop your own desire to
continue.
To continue to do
yeah.
it. You know?
And Paul said, you know, you show me your works, and I'll show you my works
yeah.
by faith in Christ. Is what
that's
he
right.
is what he's saying.
That's right.
You're doing it. You're trying to say, well, this year works like this according to it. And Paul said, no. You show me what you got, and then I'll show you what I got in Jesus
that's
Christ.
Right. That's right.
Because what you got, you developed as man-made scripture, man-made thoughts.
Yes.
But what I got is what the Word of God says and what He puts in my heart.
Right.
So that works.
That's right. So if you're not going to be serious with God, God's not going to be serious with you. And this really requires a real change in how you say things, how you do things. It's a completely different walk than when you walk in the flesh.
You've got to do some thought management.
You have to do thought management because the devil will continually attack you to do and say things that are wrong.
Right.
I don't care how much word you get in to, the devil will continually, you know, you look at the life of Jesus. He was tormented 40 days, right?
Right.
So even at the Jesus' level of power and authority, even at that, the devil still came and tried to attempt him, right?
When he was fasting.
Yeah. So now the devil was not successful, but that didn't mean that he didn't try.
Right.
Okay?
Well, it also means that if Jesus rejected it, we can't, because
that's
Christ
right.
is in us, the hope of glory.
That's right.
Would you say he fasted for 40 days?
Mm-hmm.
40 yeah. days. Yeah. He went up the mountain.
I'm reading that.
Oh,
yeah. He went in the mountains. That's when Satan come and tempted him.
Oh, yeah.
Free temptation.
Yeah.
To turn the stone into bread, jump off the temple in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and said, at least the angel will take you up. Said, you can't hurt yourself because the scripture says, at least the angel will take you up. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
That's right.
And when he told him to turn the stone into bread, he says, man don't live by bread alone, but by every scripture, not some scriptures, but by every scripture, that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's this. And then he also tried to tempt him. He said, I'll give you all these things. He said, I'll make you the head over all these kingdoms. He said, he showed them to him. All these wealthy cities. And all. He said, I'll make you head over all these kingdoms. Now, Earl, if I told you that I'm going to let you do this for me, and I'll let you drive that beautiful car out there that's already yours. If you got any brains, you say, well, you're nuts, it's mine anyway. Well, Jesus was the one that created everything, so what can Satan offer you?
Yeah.
He made the stone. He could have made the stone bread to begin with if he wanted to. He made manna and rained it down for the children of Israel in the desert.
Yeah.
So he could make bread easy. And so Satan's offering something that's already his that he come to redeem. He come to take it back from Satan, and that made Satan mad.
Yeah.
But Jesus won, and we win because of Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yeah. Okay, so that took us down to verse 14. Let's see, verse 15 is, but if your brother is being pained or is feeling hurt, or if he is being injured by what you eat, then you are no longer walking in love. Because see, walking in love is a cornerstone of the Christian walk. You have ceased to be living and conducting yourself by the standard of love towards him. Do not let what you eat hurt or cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. See, Christ died for all of those people, everyone.
Yeah.
Right? The people you currently like and the people you currently hate. Right?
Yeah, he's telling us that
he died for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, if you're having a pot roast for supper night, don't invite over a vegetarian.
Yeah.
You know, he said, don't do that because your good's going to be evil spoken of.
That's right.
You know, he said, so don't do that. Pot roast night, if you're going to invite a friend over, somebody likes pot roast.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a vegetable night, then invite your friend over and some vegetarian.
Yeah.
You know, he said, do this in love. If it's not done in love, now at Christmas time when Pee Wee always invites your sister over, she has a lot of vegetables. She's got a vegetable tray out there with dip on it and all like that, and make sure nobody gets offended. So the sister sits there right next to my good friends and they're eating a ham. Pee Wee makes ham and turkey and all that, and she sat right there and said, "Oh, the ham's got worms in it." She said, I didn't hear it. And it's good that I didn't.
Yeah.
But her other two sisters thought she ought to shut up. They had enough, so that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't try to offend her. She had all her vegetation trays there and everything else. And Pee-wee's sister jumped in and said it. So she didn't come back. Guess what? She still has all the dip, still has all the ham and all the turkey. We still have a great time.
Yeah.
But we didn't do nothing to offend her.
Yeah.
Then you're wrong, it's not her.
A lot of them always think they're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus said right here, said, don't worry about it. If it offends them, said, then they don't have to eat meat. And said, but that's their prerogative. Said, but right there, it said, the Lord blessed it all. He said, he blessed it all. He said, and you just walk in love.
Mm-hmm.
and said, you know, there's some people that when a guy gave you a good mind, like Rose said, you expect to use it. There's just some people you want pleased because what you did.
No matter what you did.
If their best transportation was a skateboard and you bought them a Cadillac, they said, well, why don't you buy me a Rolls Royce?
Yeah.
There would still be something wrong.
Yeah. All right, verse 16.
It's Ron's turn.
Ron's turn. 16 through 20, please, Ron.
Let not then your good be evil spoken of.
That's a biggie.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother...
Oh, wait, that's 21.
Oh, okay. 4.
Okay, so let's go back to 16. In 16 it says, and do not therefore let what seems good to you be considered an evil thing. So do not therefore let what seems good to you be considered an evil thing. You know, the things that you do, you should do in recognition that you're going to lift somebody up, not knock somebody down.
Well, yeah, it said let not, and the King James said, let not then your good be evil spoken of. If you're doing good to somebody, it's because you think that's good, and that's what you understand, and you're doing good. He says, don't let it be evil spoken of.
Okay.
But it goes back there, of course he's using meat,
mm-hmm.
because Christ gave Peter that vision of the meat. So, yeah, Paul's using meat because that's what Peter did with Cornelius' house when the Lord told him to go down there to the Gentiles. So he's using that for an example that God, everything's clean before God because God created everything. He didn't create anything nasty and garbage. So when he says that, your good thinking might be different than Ronnie's good thinking. His good thinking might be different from Earl's good thinking. Earl's good thinking might be different from Pee-wee's good thinking, and on and on and on and on. But everybody's sincere. He said, what you sincerely do and good taste is that just be careful that it's not evil spoken of. Yeah. You know, and
you didn't do anything to offend anybody.
Right.
And don't let anybody turn it into an offense.
Offense. Yeah.
That's right.
That's why it's very important as a Christian, it's very important not to go places where you don't belong, but you know not to go,
yeah.
because somebody else might see you and then they'll say,
oh, look what so-and-so did.
Right.
Even if
it's an innocent thing that you went and done,
yeah.
but then somebody else sees it different, and then what happens? Couple gossip, and it
yeah.
spreads.
It blows away out of proportion, don't you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that shouldn't bother you.
But it bothers
you. You're doing right. That,
I agree with you, Earl.
It doesn't bother me.
But, no, it doesn't bother me, but what he said is don't knowingly do it if it's going to be offensive to somebody that you know. What I'm saying, don't... If I was downtown and it was a snowstorm,
mm-hmm.
and say I was moving snow off the street and Dover's closed, but say there was a gin mill in there that made sandwiches, it wouldn't bother me a bit to park my loader right out in front of that gin mill
mm-hmm.
and go in there and get a sandwich,
mm-hmm.
and if it's nice and warm in there, sit there and eat it, and then come right back out and get
be
on the loader
because
and go.
Be either. I don't care.
But what I'm saying is, if there's a... And I wouldn't do that to offend nobody,
mm-hmm.
but if I did that and somebody come down the street, especially at a church assembly we used to go to, Ryan and I used to go to, they would say, and Cena said, oh man, that pyramid, he's supposed to be straightened out now. He wasn't supposed to. And I'd seen him myself coming out of that gin mill. And if you slipped on a little piece of ice or snow, they'd say, he couldn't hardly walk.
Yeah.
You know? And they would go there and...
Well, they always add to a story.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't
but,
matter what
but
you
what
do.
I'm saying,
yeah.
that wouldn't offend me one bit to go in there and get my sandwich and mind my own business.
Yep.
That don't mean you're in there fellowshipping with a bunch of drunks. Yeah. That don't mean nothing. It don't mean you was in there looking at another man's wife, or if it was a woman, looking at another woman's husband. But the people that's going to make something out of something, yeah, they're going to do it regardless.
Yeah.
But the, and he's not talking about them people, because those are the busybodies. Mm-hmm. And he warns us in the scriptures. He said, you stay away from the busybodies. Yeah. So don't pay no attention to them. Stay away.
They just plan to make stuff up.
No. Yeah. Oh, well, they add to it. You know, it's just like I tell people, you know how to make a mountain out of a molehill, right? Add a little dirt.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They're just adding dirt, adding dirt.
I'm good at that.
They, no. You're very good. Not just good.
Yeah, but don't hurt nobody.
No, that's right. You're not out there to hurt nobody. You're out there entertainer.
Yeah.
And he is the neighborhood entertainer where
yep.
he is, too.
Yep.
But what I'm saying, if you went there to that gin mill and got yourself a sandwich because you've already moved snow for 7 hours and you're hungry,
yeah,
if somebody else can't handle that, and if they got a problem with it, it says you got a problem with your brother, you go to your brother and say, oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. Door was closed. I went in there and got a sandwich.
Yeah.
And if they said, well, I don't think you should eat there. I said, well, then I think you ought to call me, invite me to your house. Not to stop the order and eat. And then all the neighborhood could say, oh, when her husband was working, she had a strange man in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. It don't stop with a busybody.
Yeah. Okay, so, verse 18. He who served Christ in this way is acceptable and pleasing to God and is approved by men. So let us then definitely aim for and eagerly pursue what makes for harmony and for mutual upbuilding, edification, and development of one another. You must not, for the sake of food, undo or break down or destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed ceremonially clean and pure, but it is wrong for anyone to hurt the conscience of others or to make them fall by what he eats. So what he's saying is just simply be respectful of what other people do and how they do it.
Oh, yeah. And
that's
said,
all common sense, really.
You know, and
that's it exactly.
And that doesn't mean that you have to go to their church or believe everything that they preach.
Yeah.
But it means that when you're around them, you should be respectful.
Well, you know, I have a man come here and from the Gideons.
Yeah.
And we talk. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. And he don't believe a lot of things like I do, especially women preachers.
Yeah.
And I said, wait a minute. I said, let me explain something to you. Timothy, mother was Lois, grandmom was Eunice, and they were ministers.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Timothy was raised up,
mm-hmm,
through his mom and grandma. Paul said, you pray for the women that labor with me in the gospel. They were in jail with Paul. They were out preaching.
Yeah.
Priscilla, Aquila, a whole bunch of people. Yeah. Philip's daughters was prophets. Yeah. See, prophecies.
Yeah.
And they're preachers. That's Philip in the New Testament. You know, his daughters was prophesying, preaching, and sharing the word of God.
Yeah.
So I told this guy, I said, you know something? I said, I want to tell you this. And I said, your wife will sit down with your kids at home and discuss the word of God and have a women's Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
I said, she's teaching the word of God. Because he said, well, you know, but usually when they turn to men, I said, when did they turn to men? There's a lot of 25, 30-year-old kids that don't have enough sense to be men yet, right?
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, listen, let me explain this to you then. He said, well, it's okay at home. I said, well, whatever's okay at home should be what's okay at church. I said, so let me explain this to you. When your daughter-in-law plays the piano or plays her guitar, she's really good on a guitar. That's Janice.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, when she plays a guitar and she sings a song, I said, it just ministers to you so good. If somebody's playing a Christian song and singing a gospel song, it just ministers to you real good. I said, she's ministered to you. So she's in church and she's singing that, it ministers to you. I said, if you got a choir that sings. I said, sometime what they sang ministers to you better than what the preacher preached, right? And I said, they're ministering to you.
Yep.
And he said, okay. He said, I see where you're coming from. He said, I just see where it says, let the women be silent in church. Mm-hmm. He said, I said, no, you read that scripture where Paul said, I suffer not the women to preach, but to be silent and allow them to. That means that I'm not calling to preach. That's what he's saying. He said, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you need to come and fill this office. I said, a lot of women preachers is not preaching because the men wouldn't at different places.
That's right.
Yeah, and I said, that's God said the two should be one. So, and he said, in the spirit, there's neither male nor female. So if you're spirit filled and you're spiritually led and the Lord gives you a sermon to tell somebody, you should tell them. You should tell them.
Yep.
And so the only reason he said be silent there was because, or what we talked about, where Paul was raised in Tarsus and Rome took over Tarsus, and so Paul was a Jew, so he had a double
citizenship.
Yeah. And Rome didn't have no respect for the women. And Rome would not let a woman have the same level of equality in a house. The man was here and the woman was here. And anything they did, the man was always above. And so with Paul, seeing how Rome was, because Paul grew up under the Roman leadership, and see, like I said, I'm not going to suffer that. This is a hard time. We're going through a big transition. Rome's down on the, owns all this area. Mm-hmm. That's their law. I tell you, just live in peace with them. And what you do beyond closed doors is your own business. Mm-hmm. But don't go out there and upset the Romans, because they're going to come down hard on you.
Yeah.
They'll kill you on the altar and laugh.
Yeah. Okay, and then verse 20 is, you must not, for the sake of food, undo or break down or destroy the work of God. So he's saying you're actually attacking the work of God when you go out and attack people who do stuff like this. You know, I go to Promise Keepers meetings on Saturday morning, and there's guys from all different denominations. We have Baptists and Nazarenes and
right
and Pentecostals like me and so on.
Nazarene, Tangerine. Right.
And
so you got Nazarenes and Tangerines.
And they all get along well. Now, do we have doctrinal discussions? Yes. And it doesn't mean that they convince me or I convince them.
But it opens it.
But it opens the discussion where everybody understands where everybody's coming from. You know? And you can do it in a respectable, honest, open way. And it's a friendly way. And we all get along well. You know? And that's, I think it's important for people to share where they're coming from, and you'll be surprised at how much you all agree on.
Oh yeah.
You know, that it's just a handful of doctrines here and there that there's really a discussion about.
Right. Well, even right there, what in that verse 19 said, let us therefore, what you're doing in Promise Keepers said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace.
Yeah.
And things wherewith one may edify another. So you're not saying, look, if you don't believe my doctrine, you're going to hell, because a lot of people do that and get very arrogant like that. So you got to believe my way. You're not doing any of that. You're sitting there fellowshipping, encouraging one another, edifying one another, you know, lifting up one another in peace.
Yeah.
And when you edify each other like that, it don't matter if you're Baptist or Methodist. You all got the same Lord, Jesus Christ, if you're Christian.
Yeah.
And so it don't matter.
Yeah.
And that people makes a big difference. And when you operate in that realm like that and respectful to other people, and I mean, we could see here with a Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or anybody, and we could find something to disagree with them on. But if you will sit there and say, and they tell you, 3 people got saved, 15 got baptized, and you just said, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. Yeah. And our church is growing. You said, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you then those people start appreciating you. And if you do have a difference that you ever have an opportunity to discuss, you know, very comfortably, they'll listen to you. But if you go in there like a bulldozer, they will turn you off, and you just lost any opportunity.
One of the things you need to do is allow the anointing of God that's on you and on the things that you say touch hearts. Yeah. And you want people to respect what you're saying and how you're saying it,
just, you know, you pray when you go in, and you open your heart up to the leading of Christ, and Christ gives you the words to say when you're there, and you can change lives and you can help people.
Sure. You know, when Earl gives a haircut, everybody tells you the same thing. Tells me, oh, just cleans you up a little bit. It means that's nicer. That's nicer.
He used a small mower.
I don't know. He looks like he went for a while on you. But he can also tell you need a haircut right over the phone. He only has to see you.
That's right.
Yeah. But when you go there, you know you're going to get entertained.
Yep.
And you know you're not going to get condemned and things like that. That's where you want to go.
That's it.
It makes it easy, comfortable. You get some laughs and you know, things like, well, that's what he said. You lift up other people. And it's a whole lot better if you sit in Earl's chair to be entertained and then be sitting in another barber's chair that's telling you that if you ain't a Jehovah's Witness, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
But they do have you, Earl.
Where is it? Pete, is it your turn?
Yes, it is.
Okay, there's only a few verses left
that's
here.
That's true.
So
he said, well, I can I read verse 20 again?
Yep.
For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So if you're just trying to eat a rack of spare ribs, pork spare ribs,
just to put something
in front of a Jew just to offend and say, these are so good, yum, 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 I bet you wish you had one. You know, if you're going to do that, that's wrong. But if you said, man, these are good, and the guy in back, he's a Jew, he said, hey, can you slip me a piece of that veal? But that's what they call it when they eat pork.
Yeah.
And you say, here, go ahead. Go help yourself, friend. Mm-hmm. You know, if he takes it, goes out back, and hides behind the door and eats it, comes back and says, that was really good veal. You know what he's saying? Just got you, pal. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And go on. So, now then, verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother stumbled, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thy faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in things which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Period.
Yep.
This is good.
Yep. We got one more verse.
15.
No, 23, right? Did you read 23?
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, you read 23? Oh, okay.
Again?
Yeah, no, this is amplified.
Catch you, Phil. We're going to have a test here at
the this is amplified, and sometimes it reads significantly
yours
different.
Yours does read a lot different.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder what you're reading.
What book are you in?
Yeah, that's right.
Phil.
No, that's right.
He's in Philippines.
Good thing we're in Arrow.
Yep.
Good thing ours there.
Yeah. Yeah, but Pee Wee and I got the same book.
Yep. And I'll read right with you guys.
Yep. King James?
Yeah, it's a new version.
Yeah. It's in English.
In English.
Yeah. Rather than Elizabethan English. Yeah.
They got another King James that's coming out. The Gideon's is published in the modern, the newest English. And they're gonna pay that out in a few months. They've got copies of one out now.
Well,
test copies.
One of the ladies that my wife plays cards with, she used to go to Bible studies. She told my wife the other day that she's got a Bible that each verse on the side explains everything, tells you everything.
Yeah.
She says she's going to
get it. Yeah, some of the study Bibles.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, some of the study Bibles are like that.
Yeah.
In fact, this.
And that's real good.
I'm using the tablet here, but even on this tablet, I'm showing everybody this thing. On one side is amplified, but there's a column off to the side here where you can get either additional information,
right,
or you can get another version. So you can actually look at two different versions at the same time and then slide them over so that you can see both of them. See?
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, to me there, it looks like that's the light of the word because the light's on in it.
Yeah. So, okay,
that'll
anyhow.
That'll make you bright in the dark. Okay, we're on verse 21.
Yeah, but I want to go down to 23. I think we're pretty well covered all the stuff about eating. I think we're pretty well covered. But 23, it says, but the man who has doubts or misgivings or uneasy conscience about eating and then eats stands condemned before God because he is not true to his convictions and he does not act from faith.
No, he doesn't.
In other words, he's tore inside of himself. See, if you act in faith, you understand what you're going to do and you do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're tore inside, well, should I do this or should I do that? You see, God is not the author of confusion. So where confusion comes in, right, and you have misgivings, well, should I do this or should I do that? The answer is you shouldn't do it.
That's right.
Right? Because with God, you should know where you're going. One of the big tricks that the devil uses on people all the time is, well, you know what? I'd like a new car, but, you know, Lord, I saw this car down here at the car lot, and it's red, and it's got this, and it's got that, and it's got this. And if you, Lord, if you don't confirm it in 2 minutes to me, loud and clear, you know, that this is the car for me, I'll take it that the answer is yes, and I'll go buy it. Now, is that faith?
No.
That's not faith. That's not faith. You already know what you want, and you're setting up the whole thing.
So you're also setting up a bunch of car payments, and
yeah,
probably
right.
They have a 3-month guarantee, and if 4 months falls apart, you still got a bunch of car payments.
Yeah. So, anyhow, but the bottom line is it's not the right car for you.
It's silly. Right. It's
but
juvenile.
There's a lot of people out there who babies in Christ do
juvenile.
Stuff like that. That's right.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, so the whole idea is that learn to look for these traps, because these are traps that the devil really sets for people, right?
So, but they work on so many people.
That's right.
And today...
That's why we're talking about it, because it does work on a lot of
people. Look at the kids. You know, when I was growing up and went to school, there was a girl 16 years old getting married.
Yeah.
That had grandchildren the same time Loretta Lynn did, and great-grandchildren the same time Loretta Lynn did, probably. And they stayed married.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, if you ain't 25, you don't have no business getting married. And they're not willing to work 3 jobs to make it.
Yeah.
If they got part-time, they're not willing to get 3 part-time jobs.
Yeah.
And they said, no, I can't do that because I start work at 8 o'clock in the morning. I can't work till midnight. But I'm going to give you an example of what I said. This young couple come out to my mother's one time and was going to ask for some money. Well, that was wrong thing to do, ask my mother. So she told me, she said, well, honey, if you're not making enough money on your job to make ends meet, because my mother sold Raleigh products plus worked, and when it was really bad out after the Depression and all that, Mother was selling Raleigh products and making for herself a couple $100 a week.
Mm-hmm.
She was feeding all the kids. When she wasn't having kids, she was making all the money to feed the kids because Dad was milking cows for 25 cents, you know, in the morning, 25 cents that night. And some other told him, says, listen, honey, if you're not making enough money on your job, here's the solution for you and your husband. As soon as you get off at 5 o'clock, just rush your behind over to McDonald's as fast as you can go because they'll hire you. And you can work there to 9 or 10 o'clock at night or even to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll even pay you to eat that junk.
Mm-hmm.
She told me. And then you'll have plenty of money to buy what you want. She said, because you can't make a dime sitting home watching that dumb boot tube.
Yep.
They didn't ask her for no money.
Because
she gave them the solution. And a lot of people don't want to work at McDonald's because they're going to get not as much money as what they think they deserve.
Yeah.
Well, go there and prove what you deserve. Maybe you'll end up being a McDonald's manager or even a supervisor or something.
Yeah.
You know, show what you can qualify yourself to do.
Yeah.
And make it. And if you don't work 2 jobs a lot of times, you know, when I was cutting meat and still making all the repairs in the chicken house and still having a dump truck, and hauling all kinds of stuff all the time. And Pee-wee's running chicken houses, and we're still making a garden. You do what you got to do to make it. and be thankful to God that you got the energy, the strength, the common sense, the will.
God will open up the doors. God will open up the doors.
Sure, He will.
If you stand there and trust Him.
Earl's got a kale garden.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he likes kale, so grow kale. He can grow kale.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, well, I like kale, but nobody won't give me none.
Yeah.
All I ask for is give me the strength to do it. I'll do it.
Yeah. Right.
That's all I ask.
Yep.
And I've done the same thing. I worked.
Whatever you have to do.
When I had my barber shop, a 10-hour day was a minimum a day for me. Yeah. Plus, I'd go home at night and work on cars and stuff and so on.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Until sometimes midnight. And I'll get up at 6 o'clock the next morning and do the same. Done it for 40 years.
Yep.
Do it for years and years.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and don't complain about it.
No. Just give me the strength.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do it. I'll take the rest of it.
Yeah. Yep.
Give me the strength to do it.
And the Lord gives you the talent, like He did in the world, to work on cars and paint cars and stuff like that, and to be a barber. If the Lord gives you the talent, don't expect somebody else to do what you can do with your talent. And pay somebody else to do it for you. That's stupid.
And you ought to learn to get the talent for yourself.
That's what you get. That's a secret right there.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, one of the big complaints I have about parents today is that they don't teach their kids anything.
Right.
And, I mean, the simplest little things, you know.
Like cooking.
Cooking.
Yeah.
How to handle their money.
The teenage girls and girls that are even in their early 20s don't know how to cook. They can't cook as good as I can.
Because they're raised at McDonald's instead of the kitchen.
I'm thinking, well, what a waste. What are you doing?
Well, it's all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid,
it cost them.
We didn't have
by not doing it ourselves.
Yeah.
Manage your money,
Parents,
work.
Yeah, teach you how to work.
We just worked. Yeah.
I mean, parents don't teach kids how to work.
We were little, we worked.
That's right.
And one person come out and told my mom one time how lucky she was because she had all this and all that. Mom said, honey, I learned a long time ago all about luck. She said, spelled W-O-R-K. The harder you work, the luckier you get.
That's it.
And she told Mom was just waiting for an opportunity to let you know that you think you got it bad. You ought to be raised during a depression. You ought to be raised with 12 other kids in the house.
Yeah.
And Mom and Dad with 14
I
was trying
to
eat.
Tell me when I was in the business, he says, You know, you're really lucky. I said, yeah, why? He said, you got a nice home and a nice car and a nice family and a nice this and a nice that.
Earned it.
I said, partner, that ain't luck. That's 12 hours a day for 34, 40 years. That's not luck.
Luck had nothing to do with it.
That's what I told him.
Luck is a word of Satan's, not a luck. It's not a word of
God. It's working on jobs where they don't appreciate you and don't even like you sometimes, and you work anyhow.
For 40 years on not liking you.
That's right.
I know, I done it.
You know, it's stuff like that. I mean, if you're expected to go find a job where you're going to be king of the company, first week you're there, forget it. I mean, you're hallucinating if that's your opinion of what's going to happen.
Well, you can give some people every other pie in the pie shop, they still won't be happy.
No, never.
Life requires you get up off your butt and you actually do something.
To get on your feet, you got to get off your seat. It's that simple.
And it's the same way with the Word. If you don't get into it, you've got nothing.
Nothing in it, nothing out.
That's it.
It's that simple. But you know, there's going to always be people that don't like you and criticize you.
Yeah.
But you can't let that hold you up.
That's right.
When Jesus prayed in the garden, He said, Lord, if it be possible, you let this cup pass from me. Now, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want this old natural flesh. That's going to hurt bad. I don't want that whipping. I don't want to pluck my beard out, pull my hair out. They said the Bible says you couldn't even recognize him as a human being.
Yeah.
The Romans beat him up so bad before they crucified him. And they said, I don't want that. Probably the best part of Jesus' whole night after they beat him up so bad and made care was when he finally hung on the cross. He said, finally going to get over.
Yeah.
I want to take no more beating.
That's it.
But his night never did nothing but good for anybody.
Yeah.
Always did just good as it could be. Always did God's will. And look how many people hated him. The world hated him. Said, kill him, kill him, kill him.
Yep.
Destroy him. Because he come here to save everybody.
Yep.
And because he wanted to do good, they didn't like him. They hated him. Well, you want to do good? Guess what? Satan's going to tell other people, hate him, lie on him, lie on her. You know, they try to destroy them people. And all the world, as Satan stood our God, If they sit in church and they're sinners, Satan's still their God. If they're outside and never been to church and they're sinners, Satan's still their God. But if you're a Christian, then Jehovah's your God. And that makes a big difference. Jehovah said, you can get through it. But all the ones that's under Satan's rule, they ain't never going to get through it unless they repent. There's the only option they have is repent. That's the only time that you can win by surrender. Surrender all to Christ. Put up the white flag. I surrender, Lord. Here I am. I'm yours now. Phil, now you got to remember, next week it will be Papa's turn to read or Pee Wee's.
Okay.
And then.
Okay, why don't you close us in prayer, Pee
Wee? Might not be, but then it'll be Earl's. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the glorious, wonderful, unmatchable, everlasting name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your love in our hearts, our minds, our souls, Lord. We thank you that you minister to us and through us freely, Lord, to do your lovely will. Lord, we love you. Always grateful for everything you have given us, Lord. We ask you to give us all spiritual, physical, mentally, socially, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, materially, Lord, that we'll be a blessing to your kingdom, Lord. Those that are around us and to ourselves also, Lord, and we glorify you in everything we do and say and have. Father, we want your word just to flow through us, out through us. Many more will come to the word of God and listen to you wherever they go. If they go to any other assembly, that's wonderful, Father. Whatever church assembly they decide to join, Lord, that it will be a word of God church. And they will grow in you and share the word, and many will come to you through them also. To all to your glory, all to your honor. We thank you for being a prayer answering God, for we pray tonight and we believe what we pray, Lord, and we want to see the end results glorifying you, Father, always in Jesus' name, to your glory, Father. Amen.
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 This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.